And Philippians chapter 3. I think tonight there are two verses that I have probably quoted from the pulpit so many times when I've never been preaching out of that passage. And it's almost like those couple of verses have a place in our heart, but perhaps not the depth of the meaning and the reason that God put them there. And if you look with me in Philippians chapter 3, we looked at verse 10 the last time we were in the book. And now, begin reading with me if you would in verse number 10. We'll read down through verse 14. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, those are some precious verses, particularly in verse 13. I can't tell you how many times a blessing it's been to me to think that I have a God that gives second chances. Aren't you glad we have a God that gives a second chance? And it would be easy tonight to preach about forgetting those things which are behind. But I don't think that's really the context that I want to look at this evening. I want you to look at verse 14 particularly. The phrase says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's making a statement, I'm running to win. I'm not just running to run. I'm not just doing what I'm doing to say, well, at least I was in the game. I'm in it to win it. I'm not just here as a representative of somebody that wants to be engaged, but I have a desire. I want to win. I want to press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's two things that make me think about that, the word prize in the Bible twice. But if you would get Hebrews chapter 12 just a moment, and then get 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and maybe that will help me tonight in just laying a little bit of an introduction in what I believe that is being said in Philippians chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 12 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the other place you find the word prize is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and he says these words, verse 23, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker of thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And Paul is saying, listen, I am like a man that's in a race. I'm running a race. I am training. I'm taking and I'm setting aside things in my diet that would slow me down. I am pushing the limits of my body. I am taking and trying my very best to push as far as I can. And then I'm going to spend myself. I'm going to use every ounce of life that I have to be able to win this prize. So run that you may obtain. And I think that's the right attitude. I think the attitude is to run to win, not to run to come in last place. I think it's a shame that we give trophies away today just for participation. And I'm not saying that if you got a trophy for participation, that's wrong. I probably got one somewhere in my life. But I'm saying there ought to be something that says that if you put forward the effort and you put forward the discipline and you put forward the strength and the time, and if you're able to win, there ought to be something that you can say, you know what, I got the prize. Instead of just saying I sat in the class and I still got the prize. I think that's the wrong attitude. If you look at it, I think it's repeated, even though the word is not repeated in Hebrews 12. Look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I believe that to be chapter 11. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I have a race that I'm running. You have a race that you're running. As pastor of Tabernacle Baptist Church, I have a prize that I'm trying to chase and to pursue after. And I'm taking and spending my energy and my thought and my life in trying to reach that. But not everyone has the same race to run in. And that's why he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You have a race. And let me say this, just because, listen, you don't have to be in full-time Christian ministry to be in a race for the Lord Jesus Christ. Or whether it's a Sunday school teacher, or whether it's a Christian school teacher, or whether you're trying to raise your children for God, whatever you're trying to do for the Lord, I think you run that race. And if you look at verse 2, look at what he says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, I've got my eye on the prize. And boy, I'd like to say tonight, brethren, that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, if I get to heaven and Jesus smiles at me and says, well done, it'll be worth it all. Be worth it all. The prize is Jesus Christ. I'm pursuing. I'm running my race. I want him to be pleased with my life. I want him to get a return on the investment. How many would agree with me? Jesus Christ invested everything into seeing that we didn't end up in hell. He left heaven. He suffered at the hands of men. Listen, 3.5 years, foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man, no place to lay his head. And he did all that to keep you and I out of hell. And I'm telling you tonight, anybody that loved me enough to hang 9 hours naked on a cross and to have people spit in his face, I'm telling you tonight, he's worthy of my very best is what he's worthy of. He's worthy of my best. He ought to have the best of my life, and I ought to be running to win his approval. Now, with that in mind, go back, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3, and maybe now that will kind of help us to understand what I believe the heart of these verses that are quoted so often are really talking about. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm running to win. But I haven't won yet. I'm working at it. If you look at it again, verse number 11, look at the words that he used. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. In other words, that's something that's unknown. To attain is to reach. All right? To attain is to reach by great effort. He's saying that I might attain. Look at verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. In other words, I haven't accomplished what I'm trying to reach yet. The place that I'm trying to reach, the prize that I'm trying to gain, the understanding that I'm trying to gain, I haven't reached yet. Verse number 12, not as though I had already attained or either were already perfect, but I follow after if that I may apprehend. Now look again, if that I may apprehend. To apprehend is to take hold of. We look at the word apprehend like when you're arrested. And he said, there is something I'm trying to get a hold of. There's a prize that I'm pursuing. And I haven't gotten there yet. It's still in question whether or not I'm going to make it. I don't count myself to have apprehended. I haven't attained, but I am following after. But here's one thing he does say. Boy, I like this in verse 12. Watch this. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said, I may not have gained the prize yet, but I can tell you one thing. Jesus Christ sure has taken hold of me. He grabbed a hold of my life. He lifted me out of all that religion, that dead religion, and me holding those coats while they're stoning Stephen. And now he's given me something to do with my life. I may not have reached to where I want to reach for him, but he sure has touched inside my soul and changed my life completely. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Something that's real. And in saying that, he says, I'm running to win. Brethren, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended. There's more out there. And remember, this is being written from prison. This is being written at the end of his life. It's not something being written by a young man with zeal and fire. This is somebody that's writing at the close of his life that has been consistent. And in prison, he says, I'm still pursuing. I'm still running to win it. I'm still in this thing to finish and to put joy on the face of my Savior. And I tip my hat to that. I appreciate that attitude. But I have not yet apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I do want to point out three things to you before we look at those two words there, two phrases. You know, if you're going to run to win for Christ, back in verses 7, 8, and 9, there's going to be some things you're going to have to be willing to lose. And if you're not willing to lose, you know, Paul said, I count the loss of all things that I may win Christ. There he says that in verse number 8. He says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I hate to say this, but this is true. It may be that if you're going to run to win and you're going to win the prize, there may be some friends that you have to lose along the way. You know, I don't look at trying to find ways to lose friends. But I tell you what I would do. I would give up friends that would keep me from pursuing the prize in Christ Jesus. There may be some things you have to lose in the way of family. We love family. Love Christmas. Love Thanksgiving. Love to be with my children, my brother's children, my mother and dad. But you know, there may be some folks in a family that you may have to give up if you're going to end up reaching the prize and the purpose for which God gave you. And that's not an easy thing to do. There may be some things you have to lose. There may be some goals you have to lose. I'm so happy we got a missionary here tonight. I have no idea what Jeremy wanted to be when he grew up. You know, it's funny what people want to be when they grow up. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a cowboy. I'm probably dating myself there. I knew one young man that wanted to be a garbage collector when he grew up. And I'm not saying that's wrong. Somebody's got to collect it. But he had his mind set on that. What did you want to, you know, it doesn't matter what you want to be. If you're going to win the prize, you need to be what God wanted you to be. Amen. There's some things you may have to lose. There's some things that may not be wrong that you may have to give up. But then not only some things you have to lose, look at verse 10. Then there's some priorities that you're going to have to choose. Paul said, I've got some priorities. To run this race and to win this thing, I want to know Him. And I'm saying tonight, I do not want to be guilty of making it to heaven and saying, look at what I accomplished and somehow missed getting to know my Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said it's a priority for me, not only to know Him, but the power of His resurrection. I want to live in His power and the fellowship of His suffering. I want to join myself to His purpose. Paul said these are my priorities. And I'd say, you know, there's some things in life you're going to have to make a priority if you want to win some things. How many of you would like to be in better shape this year than you were last year? Can anybody just say amen to that? Well, you know, one thing you have to do, you're going to have to eat better. See how happy everybody is about being reminded of that? If you want to be able to wear clothes that fit better and you want to feel better, you're going to have to put some exercise in somewhere. Watching people exercise on TV is not going to get you there. Wearing a shirt that came from a gym won't work. You're going to have some priorities. You might have to get up earlier. You might have to go to bed earlier. You might have to cut some things out. And these guys that train, listen, for those men and women that compete in the Olympics, you understand, for 4 years, they put themselves through all kind of rigor, but they have the same priority. I'm going to push my body to the limit. I'm stretching myself as far as I can go. I don't know if you've ever seen it. There's so many things in technology today to help them to achieve those goals. Have you ever seen one of those people that's on a treadmill and they've got the mask on and they've got all these tubes on and they've got things connected to them and they're running? Have you ever seen that? You know, there is nothing in my heart that wants me to take their place. USA, USA. Not me. But if you want to be able to expand those lungs to where you can get the breath you need to make that last lap in the 400, then you're going to have to put some priorities out there. All those things that you enjoy in life, there's some things you're going to have to put aside. And Paul says, I've made some priorities in my life that I might win this thing. You can't just casually go through the Christian life and think that you're going to get a prize at the end. You've got to make a priority of Jesus Christ. And you've got to make a priority. Listen, you young men in college, you've got to make a priority of having the power of God in your life. That's got to be a priority. That can't be secondary or somewhere down the list, and I hope it works out. Paul said, I want to win this thing, so I'm willing to lose some things, and then I'm willing to choose some priorities, and then I'm willing to pursue. I'm not going to stop. That's why he says, verse 11, if by any means I might attain. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained. Verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended. That I'm going to push as far as I can. I'm pursuing what I can. And then I think that's where we find then in the passage these two verses, and particularly verse 13, that I think is far more than just forgetting your past. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, and that one thing is pressing toward the prize. But to be able to press toward that prize, there are two components that he has to fulfill. Now, I want to look at that, and we'll be finished in just a moment. Look at the first one. Forgetting those things which are behind. Now, I'll tell you, there's a lot of people that stop running the race because of their past. And it's not always about the past failures. I think if you're going to win the prize for Christ, I think that you sometimes, you're going to have to forget some things in the past. And maybe I can help us right here. Maybe this will kind of live with us for a moment. You're going to have to forget about how deeply you've been hurt. Everybody gets hurt. Come on, Jesus Christ chose 12 disciples and one of them had a devil and came and betrayed him with a kiss. Everybody gets hurt. There are people not seated in this auditorium tonight because they got hurt and they quit teaching their class and they stopped being a deacon and they got out of the ministry and they gave up what God had given them to do and they stopped running that race because of how deeply they've been hurt. And I'm not saying that you don't get hurt very deeply. Listen, sometimes the wounds that are related to running the race for Christ cut very deeply. Those marks are not just on the top superficially. They go deep down on the inside. But I'm telling you right now, if you can't learn to forget, listen, we have got to learn forgetting those things which are behind. Yes, I was hurt deeply, but hey, so was Jesus Christ. And not only that, can I say this? I've had more gains than I've had losses. I've had more blessings than I've had betrayals. And what you have to do, if you're going to run the race, you've got to forget about how deeply you've been hurt. Not only forget about how deeply you've been hurt, but you've got to forget about how badly you failed. You know, I believe we have some fine people at Tabernacle Baptist Church, but you know what I'm certain of? There's not a one of us in here that ever tried to do anything for the Lord that you didn't fail. And sometimes those failures are monumental. Sometimes those failures seem as large as Mount Rushmore. They're larger than life. Peter had one of those. How many of you think it probably was a pretty hard thing for Peter to swallow that he warmed by the fire of those that were going to crucify Christ and that three times he denied that he knew him, even to the point of cursing and saying, listen, I don't know who you're talking about. Don't you think that was a pretty big failure? But you know what we've got to understand? There's a God in heaven that's got more grace than you've got failure. Amen. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up and he preaches and 3,000 people get born again. And you know what I say that is? That is a testimony to the good grace of God. He's got more grace than you have failure. Amen. Amen. The Bible says a just man falleth 7 times and riseth again. But here's what happens to some people. I failed in this regard. Maybe it was your marriage. Maybe it was with one of your children. I failed in trying to get them to live the life that is taught in the Bible. And so because of that, I'm through. I'm done. My marriage broke up. And because of that, I'm through. I'm done. I lost this particular place of ministry, and now because I failed in that, I'm finished. I'm done. I'm not going to go any farther. I'm going to look at that failure, and I'm not going to let myself step across it again. Maybe because I'm afraid to fail again, or maybe because I'm afraid because of my failure, I could never get the job done. Boy, you know what I'd like to say? I don't think any of us can get the job done, but I'm telling you, there's enough grace that God has for you to get the job done. Amen. You got to quit looking at your past failures. I'm going to misquote it, but I cannot remember all the quote, but I believe it was Thomas Edison. I think he had almost 1,000 failures before he finally got that light bulb to work. How many of you would have quit after number 277? How about 466? I'm done with it. I'm not going to do it anymore. Look, 999... And then on the 1,000th time, he was able to move past his failure. Then there's another thing. If you're going to run this race and you're going to win it, you're also going to have to, you're going to have to forget about how far you've already come. You know, I think some people stop what they're doing for the Lord because they think that's far enough. I've gone as far as I'm going to go. We've made this, we've made that, we've gone this far, and now I'm finished. You know, it's always heartbreaking to hear about people talk about how they used to teach Sunday school, how they used to win people to Christ, how that they used to go to all-night prayer meetings. And I think what happens in our heart, we go so far and we feel like, well, listen, I've gone this far down the road and now it's time for me to sit down and take a rest. If you sit down and take a rest during the middle of the race, you're definitely not going to win the prize. You got to keep pressing. You've got to keep pursuing. You've got to forget about how far you've made it. I mean, don't you think, listen, I'm sure that some people think the place that God has given me the privilege to pastor, that, well, now you have finally reached a place of success. I appreciate where I am, but I don't think that I ought to say, well, I finally became a pastor of a large church that was well known. I think I ought to push myself and say, hey, Lord, thank you for all the help down the road and all the places you brought me through, but now I need to continue and go farther and not just say I'm satisfied. Look, I'm glad we gave $500,000 to missions. I think we can give $1 million. Amen. Now, if you don't forget those things, then you're not going to be able to press. That's verse 14. I press toward the mark. I stop pressing when I start remembering how deeply I'm hurt. I stop pressing when I start remembering how badly I failed. I stop pressing when I start remembering how far I've already come, and I just don't want to go any farther. Don't want to go any farther. You know, I'm not much in hiking. I don't hike a lot. I'd rather drive a car to the top of a mountain and look at the view than to walk up a hill somewhere. And that's probably not good for you. But you know what? There have been occasions. Not many. But there have been occasions where somebody said, oh, preacher, it's just a little bit farther. I'm tired. I'm cold. I'm hungry. The view can't be that good. Preacher, I'm telling you, it'd be worth it if you'd just press a little bit farther. How about if I can hear my dad send this? Let's just take a picture and send it to me. I'll appreciate that. No, look how far you've already come. And a lot of times we get that way. Look how far I've already come. And we get stuck right there. Boy, if you'll just keep pressing on and forget about how far you've come, there's still something out there on the horizon left for you. That's what he says next then in verse 13. Forgetting the past. Yes, forgetting the past, failures, the sins. I'm glad there's a God of second chances. But if I'm going to press, I've got to forget about those things which are behind. But then I have to reach forth unto those things which are before. There's some things that I've got to forget about, but then there's some things I've got to reach forward toward. And the Bible's very clear when he says that reaching forth unto those things which are before. I think those are things that are in the present or the future. I'm forgetting those things which are behind. That's the past. But right now and in the future, then I need to begin to stretch myself. And here's what I tell you. There's some things you need to reach toward. Listen, I would say, I would say that this church has done a remarkable job in the sending of missionary families. This church has not just supported missions. This church has sent some of its best people to the mission field. They have had them to say goodbye to family and friends. And I think that's a remarkable, that's a great thing. This church has stretched itself in supporting 300 plus missionaries for many years. And I think that's commendable. But you know what? I think we need to understand this. There are still people that need the gospel. There are still unreached people. There are still places in the world that God needs somebody to stand up and say, here am I, Lord, send me. I'll go, God, if you want me to go. And that's not just being satisfied with here. That's reaching forth. There are so many countries without the gospel. So many places that are unreached. And we've got to reach forth to those things. Not only reaching those that are unreached, but listen, how many of you agree with me this? There's still a whole lot more to learn about Jesus Christ in the Bible. Come on now. I'm sure I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but some of you have read this Bible through many times. Some of you have spent hours studying. Dear friend of mine in heaven right now. Oh, I can see John's face right now. I remember when he stood up in a men's meeting and he said, in the church, he said, listen, I've run from God for a while. He said, but my name is Jonah no longer. I'm going to pursue the Lord. And boy, he got excited about that. His morning would start off. He'd say, preacher, I'll read my Bible for an hour and then I pray for an hour. How many of y'all think that's a pretty good thing to start your day with? Read my Bible for an hour and pray for an hour. And every now and then he'd come to me, he'd tell me about something he got out of his Bible, and he'd get excited about it. Listen, I've been reading my Bible. I'm sure that Dr. Aiken and some of these other men, Brother Vaughn and others could stand up and say, listen, I've been pursuing the Lord and reading the Bible for a long time, but I want you to know I keep finding out there's still a whole lot in there I didn't know that was in there. There's still stuff that I haven't touched the depths yet. I can still remember hearing Dr. Sattler say it right here. He talked about, you know, Lord, what am I going to do when I finish preaching these texts? And, I'm not going to have anything left to preach. And then he started talking about how the more he reached down into the depth of that well of the Bible, he found out that the deeper it got and the more that he reached down and let it down a little bit farther, the deeper it got. And he found out there wasn't any bottom to that well. And I want to say tonight, there's a whole lot about that Bible that's still waiting for you and I to find and rejoice in. That's why I preached like a novice the other day. Jesus Christ, there in the book of Daniel. Good night. I feel like I could preach it over again tonight. What a joy it was to see Jesus in verse after verse after verse in something I've read so many times. You say, what did it do for your heart? It made me want to run on further. Amen. Amen. Right. Oh, they pay you to study that book. Oh, no, no, no. I may get a salary from the church, but nobody pays me to dig into this book right here. There's something in here worth finding out. You know, the same thing true about Jesus. How many of you think there's a whole lot about Jesus you don't know? How about I put that into perspective? How many of you think there's still a whole lot about your spouse you don't know? I mean, there's people been married 50 years. You're liable to find out something you didn't know. So, oh no, preacher, I know everything. I doubt it. There's something more there. Rosie Price. Oh, you remember Rosie Price, sweet lady. She'd stand up in church and she'd say, well, I just want to testify. What do you want to say, Miss Rosie? I just want to say that Jesus gets sweeter every day. You know, that's not a cliche. The Bible says, draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto you. There's more to know about Christ. Listen, the Bible says He's altogether lovely. Anybody here believe that? All right, the Bible says that all the treasures of knowledge are found in Him, that the fullness of the Godhead bodily is in Him. I mean, if you want to know where you can tap into something, you can't find the bottom, it's in the person of Jesus Christ. And listen, I know we found out how good He is and where He was born and all those things, but there's more that you can still learn. The song, More About Jesus, Let Me Learn. More of His holy will discern. And that chorus, more about Jesus. You're going to have to do that if you want to win the prize. Thirdly and lastly, how far can you go? You know, when you start trying to reach forward, you're going to have to figure out, well, how far can I go? How far can I stretch myself? What is my limit? What is my limit? There's a thing called muscle fatigue. And whether you're working out with weights or whether you're doing push-ups or any kind of exercise, you get to a point that your body will tell you there is no farther that you can go. How far can you go for the Lord? How much can you do in the years that you have? You know what the devil do? The devil's going to slip up you, whisper in your ear, you're finished, you can't make a difference. Don't you think he did that to Paul sitting in prison? Paul sitting in prison writing these words, reaching forth unto those things which are before. You can't reach forward, Paul. Your feet are in the stocks. You can't reach forward, Paul. They won't let you away from this house. Your life's done. It's ended. I disagree. He wrote the book of Philippians and wrote the book of Ephesians. I'm telling you right now, God's got more he could help you accomplish if you'll give him that opportunity. So what's your limit? You'll never find out until you reach forward, until you stretch yourself, until you say, God, I need your help. I'm trying to reach here. Reminds me of a story about a man named William Borden. Brother Jeremy, unusual you'd be here tonight. William Borden came from a wealthy family, educated in a very prestigious place, and decided that somebody needed to go to Mongolia to reach Muslim people. So he ended up going to the country of Egypt to learn Arabic. So he would be able to go into Mongolia and be able to speak to those people or learn their language and speak to them in Mongolian and talk to them about the gospel and the Bible. And what happened to him while he was there, he caught meningitis as a young man and he died. In the flyleaf of his Bible, there were three things that were written. The first one was no retreat. People told me he was wasting his life. You could have anything you want. You come from a wealthy family. Why would you waste your life? I've made a decision. God's called me and I'm not going. No retreat. The second thing was no reserves. There was a time and place to where all that money that he had grown up with and all those things that he had resources in, now they're gone. And he says, you know what? There's no reserves. There's nothing left. You know the last thing that was in his Bible? No regret. Here's a young man that died trying to learn a language to go to a country and reach people. And I'm sure as he was getting to the end of his days, and the devil was telling him, see there, you wasted your life. You haven't won the prize. Maybe he reached over with a pen and just wrote down, no regret. And in my mind, in heaven, they erupted and said, there's a winner. He won the prize. Don't you know when that young man stepped off into glory and he saw Jesus Christ, don't you think that Jesus looked at him and said, son, you didn't waste your life. Son, you didn't waste your treasure. Son, you weren't a failure. You succeeded in pleasing me. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You got the prize. Now, my question is tonight, is there anybody here that you need to say, I need to renew that desire in my heart to go as far as I can? Or maybe you need to forget some failures in your past. You need to quit looking at the hurt that is keeping you from taking that next step. You need to forget those things, so you can win the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us tonight. I feel like, Lord, that time is so short and we're so close to the end of this race with the church of the living God. And in my heart, it just feels like, Lord, that time is winding down and so many things that discourage and so many things that cause us to stop and maybe to pause right before we have an opportunity, Lord, to be able to finally reach that goal for you, whatever that may be. And I pray you'd help us tonight as a church. Help us not to live in the past. And help us to stretch ourselves to the future so that we might be able to win that prize. Would you help us, Lord? We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? There's some coming to the altar. Maybe tonight, again, you just come tonight and say, Lord, I'm going to get focused. I'm going to get hungry. I'm going to get thirsty. I'm going to get determined, Lord. I'm not just going to coast through. I'm not just going to hang out in the back. But I'm going to push myself. How about you, young man, young lady? Are we satisfied with status quo and checking the box and say, well, I've made it this far. How far can you go? How much will he let you do? You come tonight and join these here at the altar. Daniel, won't you sing?